Book of Mark, chapter number 7. We want to look at the portion of Scripture in verses 31 through 37. And having meditated upon this passage today, I was impressed to entitle it, The First Voice. The First Voice. That is a phrase from Revelation chapter 4. We'll try to tie it in for you. I hope it makes sense to you before it's over with. Mark chapter 7, verse 31. And again, you know what I got to do? Got to go back and find out what happened to start with. How can this be again if it was the only thing that happened? Look at verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. And a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. And Jesus said unto her, Let the child first be filled, for it is not meet. Let the children, first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. How kind the Lord is. What does it say, and again? How does verse 24 start? And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. Verse 31, and again departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. The Lord Jesus Christ is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the Son of Righteousness that rises with healing in his wings. And the sun is never without its light, whether it is rising in the morning or going down in the evening. So it matters not whether he's going into Tyre and Sidon or he's coming out. Both times there shall be a shining forth of the healing powers and virtues of the Lord Jesus Christ. For as the Scripture has said, he cannot be hid. He is a city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. And he is that candle set upon a lampstand that lights up everybody in the house. I am the light of the world, and those that will follow after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. Decapolis was a 10 city complex. That's what the word means. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears and spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephrata, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to Thee in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, even the healer of souls, the healer of bodies, the healer of minds. We come to You, Lord. You alone have created the human being. You alone can sustain natural life, and You alone will sustain his life, spiritual life, throughout all eternity in one place or another. You are the designer. You are the one that causes us to continue. You are the uplifter, the upholder. You are the one who makes all things consist or stand together. We come tonight as deaf as this young man. We come as dumb as this young man, unable and incapable of ourselves to hear from God or to speak a word in season to him that is weary. We come by our faith. We come asking You, Lord, to take us aside tonight, fill our hearts with the revelation of Thy glory, and cause us that we might be able to see the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and not just a history lesson concerning some benevolent kindness showed to the underprivileged or the unhealthy. Grant, Lord Jesus, that the prayer that has already been prayed, that the brother so well verbalized, we don't need to hear from the pastor, we need to hear from Christ. I pray that You would grant that desire and that You would edify Your people, and in doing so, You would glorify Yourself. Help us now, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus and for His glory's sake, that these things would be done. In Christ's holy name, amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, on His journey, He comes to meet these various people that the Scriptures say that the times were before appointed and that bounds of their habitation were established. God Almighty had these various people set out at the right time, at the right place for them to come on the scene for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to manifest Himself as Sovereign Lord and as Savior of mankind. Whether He's going into Tyre and Sidon or He's coming out, it makes no difference as far as His power, but it does make a difference as to whom He meets coming in and going out. The first one was a daughter that was not present. She was back home. She was full of an unclean spirit. I see a lot of children like that today. Mean, hateful, selfish, disrespectful, disobedient to parents, unkind. And only the gospel will be able to cast out those demons from those children and bring them to Christ. It breaks my heart to see such in the grocery store or in the doctor's office or in a restaurant somewhere. But there was a mother that was concerned about her, but she was not a Jew. She had a lot to overcome, but she had a lot to expect. And she went to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He did what He could to dissuade her, not meaning in the providence of God to dissuade her at all, for He intended from the foundation of the world to heal her daughter. But just like He had Elijah pour water on the wood, God always stumbles you when you're on the way to a blessing, so you'll know it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. God had to do it. Lean not to thine own understanding. God had to do it. So He takes care of that situation, and as He is departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, He has a multitude. That's what it says in verse 33. He took Him aside from the multitude. No longer a single woman whose daughter is not present, but a multitude with the invalid amongst them, nurturing him along, carrying him along, pushing him along, making sure that he intersected with the Master, making sure that there was not any opportunity for him to miss Jesus, but they didn't want Jesus to miss him either, because they even dictated to him as how Jesus should go about healing him. They said in verse number 32, they beseeched him to put his hand upon him. I'm sure this was well intended. I'm sure that they had seen Jesus healing people by physical contact. And they just wanted him to do what they had seen him do before. They didn't want this opportunity to pass them by. They wanted a good outcome for this young man. So they got him to the master and they got their request to the master. In fact, it was kind of like a, not really a request, but an instruction on how he was to carry this out. And so this young man could not hear the turmoil around him. He could see what was going on. He could see his dear mother, whose voice he had never heard. He had never heard her voice as she woke him up gently every morning from his youth up. There might have been a teacher there in some special ed school, special education class for the deaf and the dumb, who had taught him some signs and some things to get along with the rest of the people and to express himself. His mother was there. She could look at his eyes and his expression, and she knew what he wanted from time to time. But he couldn't hear any of that. He had never heard a bird sing. He never heard the wind blow. Thou hearest the sound thereof. He hadn't. Canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. He was just walking around in a silent world, seeing a lot of dust stirred up, a lot of people, a lot of commotion, and this unusual man standing there that all the attention was focused upon. And it seemed like that everybody wanted that particular man to do something particular for him. And the thing that Jesus does, as you have the they's, T-H-E-Y, two of them in verse number 32, they bring him unto him one that is deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him, and that was the very gang that Jesus had to take him away from. Dear soul, do not be in despair. If you can't seem to hear God, if God has had you ushered into his presence and he has had you there and your deficiency is his opportunity, do not be discouraged if he even then removes your comforts from you and you stand there with just God himself and you. For faith is an individual thing and it is a specific thing and it is an active thing. Nobody can have faith for you, and you can't have faith for anybody else. I know the Lord said to the four that let down the man through the roof, according to their faith be it unto you. There is an intercessory prayer. There is that prayer wherein you enter in and seek God's face for those who cannot pray, and they cannot pray the prayer of faith. The sick cannot. But there has to be a faith issued to a specific individual from God, and there has to be a believing God in that faith by that specific individual back to God, for without that faith it is impossible to please him. And it is the victory that will overcome the world, even our faith. And Jesus Christ, being the author and finisher of faith, he had to have faith himself in order to set it forth. He had to believe that God would not leave his soul in hell nor allow his Holy One to see corruption. And in that, trusting God, he gave up the ghost and yielded his life into the hands of God and said, Father, I commit my spirit into thy hands. Not their hands, but into thy hands. Personal faith of Jesus of Nazareth to a personal God, and God honored him by raising him from the dead and giving him that which he believed in. So as the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the author of faith, was established by one human being, Jesus of Nazareth, believing in the one God, specifically about personal things, about a personal need, about a personal mission from God, about a personal loss. If you don't do it, Lord, it won't get done, for I'm not going to trust anybody but you. The Bible said over in 1 Samuel that David's men at Ziklag, when they came back and saw the camp was burned and their children and wives had been taken by the Amalekites, they spoke of stoning David, and it says something that I admire David for more than any of the exploits that you hear about David. It was this. And David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You will get to the place one day, whether Jesus is entering into Tyre and Sidon or leaving it, you'll get to the place one day where it won't be your mother that's pleading on your behalf, and it won't be all the crowd that's stirring up round about you. It'll be you and the Lord one-on-one standing there looking at one another. And in that hour, the Lord will say unto you, believest thou this? And you'll have to say, yes, Lord, I believe. The crowd was now silenced, standing over a distance away, maybe murmuring, maybe talking, maybe whispering, but that did no good, for neither the Savior nor the boy could hear what they said, because the Savior was intent upon manifesting his glory through this deaf man. This young man was not allowed to hear his daddy call him to supper. He was not allowed to hear anything else, as we have already stated. And this is going to be the first voice that he ever hears. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1, the first voice. After this, Revelation 4:1, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. How long have you been in religion? How long have you been saved? How many years have you sat under Bible studies? How many tapes, booklets, tracks, CDs, DVDs do you have? How many notes in the margin of your Bible, but can you still hear the first voice that talked to you, that started this whole thing out? I pray that God would take you aside from the multitudes, strike you deaf to the things of the world, make the notes of the birds singing and the beautiful orchestras playing the anthems of the cross of Calvary to become dull and dead to your hearing, so that you do not lose the voice, that first voice that was as a trumpet. The trumpet sounded in Israel. It told them when to stop. It told them when to go. It told them that they were a part of Israel. It told them when to march. It told them when to strike the tents. It told them when to charge. It told them when to retreat. And that first voice that began to speak to you was the voice of God Almighty within the depths of your soul. And as the Apostle Paul said, there are many kinds of voices in this world, but don't ever lose the awareness and the glory of the first voice you ever heard when God first made you alive, when before you were dead in trespasses and sins. A door was opened in heaven. Jesus said, I am the door. God came to you. He came to you on purpose. He wasn't just going down the road and He blew a tire up on the expressway, and he had to go down through Tyre and Sidon to try to find him a soft drink and a cool place to sit while the man changed his tire. This was no accident. This was the purpose. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And he was there because it was this man's time. It was Christ's time to meet him. It was his time to meet Christ. God came your way that day. He was the door that opened. No man could shut it. No man could open it. Only Christ. And the great shepherd came seeking that little sheep and came to where you were. Because the sheep never seeks the shepherd. It's always the shepherd that goes to find the sheep. And he said, the door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me. A trumpet talking with me. Have you ever got caught up in the music to such a place that it reverberated in your soul? Maybe some tears came from your eyes. Maybe there was an emotion or a quantity of emotions that welled up inside of you as you listened to the music. You say, that really stirred me. Wait till you hear and remember how you heard the voice of heaven's trumpet player, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, playing the tune of Amazing Grace and bringing into your soul redemption and life and resurrection and bringing you up so that you could talk with him. It said, as a trumpet talking with me, and he had a voice which said, come up hither. It is so regrettable that there has been so much damage done to this verse. I don't come tonight to put a Band-Aid on it. It's not broke as far as I'm concerned. I'll tell you what it means. Ephesians 2:6. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where were we before that? We were walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the lust of our flesh. We were in the darkness of death. We were outside of God, without God and without hope in this world. We were blinded and deaf and dead. Jesus came to us where we were, a stinking sinner. That's what he said about Lazarus. By this time he stinketh. And Lazarus don't come to Jesus. The Lord Jesus had to go to him. And this old God Almighty came to where you were. And he put the noisy multitudes away because they can't do anything for your ear anyhow. You can't hear what they're saying. God's got you destined in that day, at that place, at that time, at that point, to hear God. And so he brought the boy to him and he said, come up hither. That's regeneration. That's not a rapture. It's a regeneration. If you know it's regeneration, it can be a rapture. Come up hither and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Because heretofore his eyes had not seen, neither had his ears heard the things that God had prepared for those that love him. So the Lord brings him to himself, and the first voice sounds, and it's the first voice he's ever going to hear in his entire life. So the Lord brings him to himself and takes him away from all of the crowd. Now I want you to know how he did it. There are seven things that Jesus did in healing him. The crowd has got an idea of how it should work. Godly mothers, daddies, uncles and aunts, cousins and brothers and sisters had an idea of how you were supposed to be saved, how it was going to happen, and what you were supposed to do. And they had it all laid out for you. Mine didn't take. I followed two brothers down the aisle, didn't have any idea what I was doing. Lived as a lost church member, baptized in the county water, but not in the spirit. And one day God saved me, and then I had to tell all of them, y'all were wrong, and I was too. Now God has saved me. God had to put all my family aside. God had to put everybody else aside. Preacher didn't like it. They had to go back to the association and scratch out 7 years ago one of the converts they said they had, because they didn't. They didn't really do that. They wasn't about to admit it. They just wanted to get me to be quiet, get me in the water and get me out. Say, okay, now he's baptized, so, you know, now we're all right. Jesus will take you away from everything else because the Lord thy God is a jealous God. You don't believe that, you're going to run into something for too long in your Christian life. God will not tolerate any competition. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You can't come to me and love your mother and your father, your own life, your wife, your home, your kids, yourself. You can't even love them equal to me, much less more than me, or you cannot be my... The Lord thy God is a jealous God. Now, he was honest about that when he said it out. And dear friend, that's the truth. And God will call you away from everybody else and make you walk in a way that it only honors him, and you have your eyes exclusively fastened upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Seven things he did. Number one, he took him aside from the multitude. Jesus is not looking for any notoriety. It says in verse 24, he would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. He tells them, don't tell any man in verse 36. He tries to keep the lid on it. He took him aside from everybody else. And dear soul, you must understand and believe this. God has never saved anybody on the buddy system. He's never has saved bunches. He saves individuals. Your God is a personal Savior to you personally. Believe it. And he took him aside from the multitude. Number two, he put his fingers into his ears. Exodus 31. Exodus 31. Exodus chapter 31, verse number 18, the last verse in the chapter. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with... same finger. Going to put it in his ears. The same finger that wrote the Ten Commandments was now in this boy's ears. One in each ear. Luke chapter 11 and verse 20. Luke chapter 11 and verse 20. Luke 11:20. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. This man is fixing to see the kingdom. But no man can see the kingdom except what? John 3:3. Except to be born again. This man is fixing to enter the kingdom. The finger of God is at work. And if I, with the finger of God, cast out the devils in this boy, cast out the unbelief, cast out the greatest sin there is in the world, failure to believe in Jesus Christ as God the Son, if I cast the devil out of him, I will bring him into life, and I will do it with the finger of God, and you will know this. This day has he been brought into the kingdom of God. Amen. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom, John 3:3. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom, John 3:5. So is everyone that is born of the Holy Ghost, John 3:8. With this finger he has written the law of God. Romans chapter 10, if you will, and verse 17. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. How is he going to give him his hearing? How did you get your hearing? We're going to have some responsive reading. Here we go again. I'm going to read the first part of this verse, and would you please read me the last part? And yours is the good part. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing.
And hearing by the word of God.
What was the boy's problem? He had a speech impediment and he could not hear. So what did he put in his ears? The finger that wrote the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by
the word.
The finger of God that wrote the law for Moses was in that boy's ear, one in each side. And the word of God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, in all of his vitality, in all of his eternality, in all of his incarnate glory, stood there. A great high priest who could be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, knowing what it would be like shortly at the cross to have the Father silence himself and not speak to him anymore. He may as well have been deaf there at the cross. My God, why has thou forsaken me? And there was no answer. Knowing that he would shortly be deaf himself and have no word from God, he identified with the boy and never wanted him ever to experience that for one more minute. So he put the same finger by which he wrote the law into the man's ear. He put the same finger by which we know that the kingdom of God has come upon us, and he put it in his ear. And hearing comes by the person of the word of God. And the word of God, with the implement that he used to write the word, was inside the boy's body. I can't put my fingers in my ear. I got plastic in both of them with batteries on the inside of them. There, that's what it looks like. Oops. His fingers was inside of the boy's head. He took him aside. He put his fingers into his ear. That's number two. And third, he spit. Now, I put, and he spit, number three, and touched his tongue, number four. But that could all be number three. Would you look at chapter 8 of Mark and verse 23? And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit, next three words, he spit on his eyes. There's no doubt in my mind he spit on this boy's tongue. He spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him and asked him if he saw aught. But we see that, number one, he took him aside. Number two, he put his fingers in his ears. He invested himself, and that those implements that had written the law of God unto Moses that began to separate God's people from all other people. And then it says, he spit. Song of Solomon chapter 5 and verse number 13. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies dropping sweet smelling myrrh. Oh, dear soul, the moisture that come from the mouth of God was that which was in the beginning. God used his finger, and he was the first sand sculptor. He kneeled down in the dust of the earth, and he, with his fingers, sculptured out the form of the humanity of man. But then the moisture has to come, and in that virgin soil, God leans over, and with the breath of his mouth, as Elijah did, stretching himself out upon that lad that was dead in the upper chamber, stretching himself out. That's the only way Elijah could have got that. It ain't in the Bible nowhere else. Stretching himself out upon that form of dirt that he had formed, the moisture of God's mouth came forth from him, and he became a living soul. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 2, and that don't sound right. It is. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10, that we are a creation. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The salvation of your soul was nothing less than a sovereign creation of a new man in Christ Jesus. You were new all the way through. All things became new. All things passed away. And you were created in Christ Jesus in the same way that he created physically the first Adam. It was done by God's finger, writing the word in your heart. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Hearing comes, if any man hath an ear. Everybody's got ears, Lord. No, they don't. Only the ones I put my fingers in. If any man hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto him. Not what his granny or his teacher or his mother or even a preacher, but let him hear what the Holy Ghost saith. I hope God's putting his fingers in your ears tonight. And then the moisture came. There had to be the vitality of life. The breath of God is the wind that blows. That Spirit came into them and quickened him and made him alive. And so this man became a new creation in Christ Jesus. You know that word we read there in Song of Solomon chapter 5 in verse number 13. His lips like lilies dropping sweet, smelling myrrh. That word lips, if I can show it to you, it's in 1 Kings chapter 7 and verse 26. 1 Kings chapter 7 and verse 26. Let me show you this word lips. We're talking about the molten sea wherein the priests washed themselves upon entering in to offer sacrifices. And it says in 1 Kings 7, 26, and it was an hand breadth thick. And could you read me the next three words? And that's the same word, lips. Christ's lip is the same Hebrew word for the rim, the lip, the brim of the molten sea where the priests come to wash before entering into the sacrifice. Any priest here tonight, every Christian ought to be raising their hand in their heart. You are a priest before God. You are a priest in your own right. You offer spiritual sacrifices unto God. And dear soul, when you come by the washing of water, by the word of God, by the very lips of God, And as God speaks, the spewing out of His moisture cleanses your soul, the washing of water by the Word of God. And you come to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God washes you afresh and anew with the Word of God that He's given you the ability to hear, and the Word of God that cleanses you and washes you, and it comes from the very lip that are so glorious of our Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't hand breadth thick, and the brim thereof was wrought like the brim of, that's the same word again, the brim of a cup with flowers of lilies that contained 2,000 baths. There's plenty enough room for everybody to wash themselves, dear soul. Oh, that all had ears to hear. Oh, that the Lord Jesus Christ would take the preaching of the Word of God that He calls the foolishness of preaching and apply it and appropriate it to the hearts of all of God's elect, putting His fingers in their ears, unstopping their ears, bringing the moisture of the breath of God upon them and the washing of water by the Word of God, that they might stand cleansed in the presence of the sacrifice and be able to go into the inner court and worship and praise God forever. And then it said He touched His tongue. And He touched His tongue. That's where the problem lay, dear soul. He couldn't speak. He couldn't hear. He had dealt with his hearing with his fingers, and his spittle touched his tongue and moistened that tongue. They introduced something in my life a few years ago, and I think sometimes getting corrected medically ain't always easy, and it ain't always good. They got me putting a nozzle on my nose with straps going over my head every night, and a 5-foot hose going to a machine over there that they call a CPAP. Well, if you ever seen my pap, you wouldn't think it looked like your granddaddy, your pap. And one of the things that happens is, if you dare open your mouth while you're asleep, you may be having that fresh air blow up your nose. But if you start breathing through your mouth, you will wake up the next morning and you can't get your tongue loose from the roof of your mouth because you're so dry. You ain't got moisture, nothing. And I think sometimes I say, Lord, that must have been what it was like without any moisture, dead in trespasses and sins, like a skunk that had been run over on a South Alabama highway in July by a logging truck. Just a flat, dried out piece of, it looked like you could pick it up like a frying pan by the tail. And this man was totally dry, had no moisture. He had no spirit at all. And the problem was with his tongue. And God moisturized his tongue and made him be able to speak to God again. How did you find out, Ananias, that it was okay to go down to that first Christian terrorist at the street called Straight? How come you wasn't afraid to go down there? He was killing Christians, and he had a legal right to do so. He had a summons in his back pocket. I mean, it was legal for him to kill you. What was it that made you go down there and anoint his eyes and call him Brother Saul? God said one thing to me. What was that? Behold, he prayeth. And you can't prayeth unless your tongue has been moisturized by God. And that takes place by the Holy Spirit exclusively. And this is physically, it's a physical picture of how He does it spiritually. Fifth thing, and looking up to heaven, there was a devotedness of the humanity of God to the divinity of God the Father. He's standing here with his fingers in a man's ear. He just got through spitting on his tongue. And with his fingers still in his ears, and the man's tongue still sticking out with the spit of Christ's mouth on it, he looks up to heaven. Jesus Christ brought to bear the eternal love of God upon all those that he came to save. He said, listen, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and I want you to know, on my behalf, I will not cast him out. Standing there with the finger of God inside the head of this sinner who has never heard a word and cannot speak, he's so moved with the glory of God and the grace of Almighty God, and with the flow of the grace and nurturing energy of God from the root out to the branches. That woman touched him and he said, virtue, energy, power has gone out. He begins to feel the energy of God from himself into the man, and he looks up to give God respect and to show, and I know this is you, Father. I felt something on that when he said, and he looked up to heaven. And the next thing he did, nobody heard it. He sighed. That's the next thing he did. It said, and he sighed. That's the sixth thing that he did. Now, he looked up to heaven, recognizing God the Father, and then he sighed. The crowd can't hear him. The boy can't hear him. It wasn't meant for the boy to hear. It wasn't meant for the crowd to hear. It was the triune work, the threefold work of a triune God. He looks up to the Father in heaven, and there is a groaning which cannot be uttered. Romans 8:26. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Jesus became speechless. And he communed with God as the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure it was faster than the seraphim or the cherubim flying speedily to accomplish God's will back and forth. There was immediately a connection with God the Holy Spirit, with God the Son, and God the Father. God the Son standing there with the implement of redemption in the man's ears. The very spittle of the mouth, the breath, the moisture of God upon his tongue. God the Father looked at in heaven, and God the Holy Spirit bringing a sigh, which nobody could hear but the Trinity. God didn't save you halfway, and he didn't save you by accident. He saved you on purpose. And if you'll read the first few verses of Ephesians chapter 1, you'll find out it was a threefold work of a triune God. That which the Father elected, the Son redeemed, and the Holy Spirit sealed. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I didn't get halfway saved. God done this thing right. And he sighed. And then he saith unto him, be open. Be open. There was that speaking forth of the word. I can't prove this. It's just a meditation that I thought upon today. You can have it. It's yours to wad it up and throw it in the trash can if you say it ain't biblical. It's all right with me. But I think that's the first words that boy heard. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet speaking with me. And he said, come up hither. You've been down in the dirt too long. You haven't even heard humans speak. I did that to you so that the first word you will ever hear was God speaking to you. And this young man will be in heaven one day, and he'll tell all the redeemed, stand aside. I'm casting my crown, and I want you to know something. The only word I ever heard, the first word that I ever heard, God so blessed me that I never heard a sound. I never heard a voice. I never heard tires screeching. I never heard mama beating the batter, making me my birthday cake inside the kitchen. I never heard a whisper, I love you, from my mother. The first word I ever heard was God saying to me, be open. Amen. And come up hither where I am. And I did. And it was. Ain't God good? My soul. And straightway his ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loosed. And what happened? And he spake plain. Now, the next thing you're going to hear sounds kind of odd. The first thing that he heard Jesus say publicly and in the midst of the crowd was, don't talk about this. Wait a minute. I haven't talked all my life. You just opened my tongue. I heard the first voice said, be open. And son, I turned into Chatty Cathy right then. And I'd pull the string myself. You know them little dolls, you used to pull the string. I'd pull the string myself. Listen, you just opened my mouth. I've got so much I want to say. I want to tell my mama, don't say nothing. The thing that was going on here was that he was living in the midst of an immeasurable amount of inordinate affection. It was a multitude. The two words, they, in verse 32, are defined in verse 33 as the multitude. The whole gang was out. And there was such a movement as when a child gets lost in a community. Somebody starts printing up posters and nailing them on the telephone poles. Some people get on the internet. Some start searching. Others start making tuna fish sandwiches. I don't know why, that's just what they do. And set up a command post and everybody gets in because there's one little boy lost. And the Lord was going to teach him every word in your mouth is going to have to be accounted for. And I want you to think about this, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Jesus took him aside from the multitude. Too much inordinate affection. Everybody's all psyched out on getting this little boy healed. Everybody was going to say, well, I was the one to help him get to Jesus that day. Oh, we're the, yeah, 60 Minutes, come on in here. We're the crowd that got him to Jesus. This little boy couldn't speak a word. We got some pictures here. We got some home movies to show you how he is. Like, he couldn't talk. We're the one that got him to Jesus. No, we ain't going to have none of that circus. I want you to have your mouth opened in the same way. Let me say it this way. I want you to have your mouth open from now on in the same way that it was open to begin with, by the Holy Ghost. For now you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your spirit, your mind, your soul, and your body, which is God's. Isn't it amazing? He came all that way from heaven, rested in the virgin's womb for 9 months, was just among his brothers and sisters for all those years, 12 years of age, we see him at the temple. When he gets to be around 30, he comes forth and has a whirlwind ministry. And on his way to the cross, there's predestinated for him an entering in and a going through Tyre and Sidon. There are to be two healings there. And the second one is going to be far different from the first. A multitude of people are going to be in on it. And he's going to have to tell the young man, be careful with all the religious emotion around you. Guard your mouth and watch out that you only speak for the glory of Almighty God. I'm sure the young man learned this because nobody did what God said. And doing what God told you not to do is just as much a sin as not doing. I mean, as go well. See? Holding back your tongue when God says to do so is that which we should do. And he charged them, as well as the young man, that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, it seemed like he kept on having to say it. The more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it. You may be raised up in a religious environment, but you shall all be taught of God. The Holy Ghost in you is the same Holy Ghost that was in the Apostle Peter. The Lord will teach you and train you and instruct you. And you need to listen to that still small voice that's within you and do what God said. I don't care what everybody else is doing. It doesn't matter. Everybody else is going to hell too. It's the broad way. You're on the narrow way. Do what God said. Well, they won't like it. Who cares? I ain't going to hell with them just because they don't like it. And the boy was immediately plunged into an environment where the people were determined they were not going to do what Jesus said. And here he had this glorious opportunity and gift to speak. But the Lord said, don't tell any man. There's a command like that for us. Cast not your pearls before swine, and give not that which is holy to the dogs. I want you to take the negative as well as the positive side of this message tonight. And I want you to go back and remember the first voice. And remember that it doesn't matter what environment you're in, Jesus came to save you. He came to connect God and you together. I will that they be with us and that you love him as much as you love me, Lord. That's what he prayed in John 17. And dear soul, I want you to remember the wonderful experience of a personal salvation and know that God came to where you were And he put that which is holy and glorious inside of you. And while he was doing it, he connected you and him and the Father and the Spirit together. And that which God has joined together, say it.
God has